people who protested in Phoenix last night are railing against the police there today because of the department's decision to use tear gas on protesters after President Trump's campaign rally. The police response to another rally last weekend in Boston is being praised and questioned. 40,000 people jammed the streets of downtown Boston to protest the 30 or so libertarian and right-wing free speech activists who were escorted out by police after they spoke. Their rally was organized by a 23-year-old to protest what he saw as limits to free speech, for instance, on college campuses. The counter-protesters and city officials claimed victory afterwards, but rally speakers didn't have a permit for a sound system, so no one could hear them. The bandstand they spoke from was separated from the crowd by a 35-yard grass moat and then fencing. The press was not allowed onto the bandstand in the protected area to hear the speakers, and some speakers and people sympathetic to them couldn't get to the bandstand because of the crowd. Police Commissioner Bill Evans responded to a question about that.
I'm not going to listen to people who come in here and want to talk about hate. And you know what? If they didn't get in, it's a good thing because their message isn't what we want to hear.
Let's bring in civil rights litigator Harvey Silverglade. Harvey, the president, the police, the counter-protesters are all, you know, called the event a huge success. You say what?
Well, the event certainly was not a free speech success. Nobody heard the speaker speak, and they apparently didn't even speak. Nobody heard them, so how could that be a free speech success? I think the definition of a success that people are using was nobody was killed. Well, that's a pretty low standard.
Well, they did get to speak, Harvey. The fact is you may not know that because the press weren't up on the bandstand, but they did get to speak. Several speakers spoke, and we know this because they had their own, you know, iPhones and such. They recorded some of it. But the Boston police are quick to say it's not their fault that these organizers didn't know that they should have had a sound system.
Well, the fault is shared by a lot of people. But collectively, they all managed to keep this from being a free speech event. The purpose of it was the group wanted to have their say and to be heard. They were not heard, and that is a collective responsibility.
Well, you know, the response to that has been, why should we hear these people? We know who some of them were. Some of them dropped out, but we know that the speakers included Kyle Chapman. On his Twitter page, he describes himself as an American nationalist. He has the nickname Stickman after being filmed at a pro-Trump march in Berkeley, hitting counter-demonstrators with a stick. Kyle Chapman has charges for holding people up at gunpoint. He's referred to himself as the alt-knight, pledged to fight the left. Joe Biggs, who worked for Alex Jones' InfoWars website, they propagate outright lies, such as the Newtown slaughter of school children was made up to take guns away. Joe Biggs is also behind Pizzagate. That's the lie that Hillary Clinton ran a child sex ring in a pizza restaurant. That lie, and the person behind it, Joe Biggs, provoked a man to go to that pizza parlor with a gun to try to liberate non-existent children. You know, people are saying, why should we allow that person to speak on Boston Common? That is sort of the equivalent of yelling fire in a crowded theater.
I have two responses to that. First of all, the purpose of the event was to hear a variety of points of view. You do not have a variety of points of view when you say, well, this person shouldn't be heard because it's hate speech. This person shouldn't be heard because he's dangerous. That is not free speech when you only hear the people who agree with you, okay? Number two, for our own security, we need to hear the people who we think are dangerous or could be dangerous so that we know whom to watch out for. If you don't allow even dangerous people to speak, how do you know where you have to watch out of the corner of your eye?
Even days after there was such anger at the free speech that was exhibited in Charlottesville, that someone was run down and over and killed. I mean, you, as you know, some cities, Austin comes to mind, canceled rallies that were scheduled for this past week by right-wing leaning groups because they knew it would foment that kind of violence. Well, you know, this puts police in a kind of a difficult position.
Well, the Boston has a better reputation than a lot of cities for tolerance, free speech. But if, in fact, that's exaggerated and we have become censorious and intolerant of other people's points of view, this event could have been held in a theater with a limited number of people in the audience where the police could much more easily control for violence. People could have been searched for weapons before going into the theater. And then it could have been broadcast from the theater so that everybody could hear it. The idea of having hundreds of thousands of people converge on the Boston Common turns out not to have been a good plan.
Well, the ACLU agrees with you. Initially, they said that it's understandable that the city sought a physical separation from the different groups. You know, this 35-yard, 200 feet, you know, quite wide distance. But that didn't create a license for leaders and law enforcement to favor certain people or viewpoints, which the First Amendment prohibits. Your thoughts, though, about, you know, the police here openly expressed their thoughts about the speakers. We heard Commissioner Evans saying, I'm glad some of the supporters didn't get through the huge crowd of people because, you know, I don't like what they have to say. Evans' second-in-command, William Gross, was mingling with the counter-protesters. He was asked at one point about the mood of the counter-protesters not wanting to hear it from these speakers. And he said, well, people are, and he used the P word, they're angry. So he understood, again, sympathizing with the counter-protesters and making that clear. Wasn't that a smart move for play devil's advocate here? Who's going to say that you're going to support people who have white nationalist views?
I will respond to your devil's advocacy by pointing out it's not the job of the police to decide whose voice is heard and whose is not. Their job is to make sure that everybody's voice is heard who wants to be heard. Evans, I hope, reexamines what he said, and the next time there's a speech event, he should play a much more neutral, protective role.
Well, of course, people couldn't hear the speakers because there wasn't a sound system. But then there wasn't that other arm of a democracy that becomes the sound system when voices can't be raised, and that's the press. Columbia Journalism Review has written about this. They quote our colleague WBUR's Bruce Gellerman, who was covering the event, who tried to get onto the bandstand. The fact that reporters would not be allowed in that protected area was in very small print in the city's press release. They didn't even know it till they got there. Your thoughts about the press not being allowed?
Well, the press should be making a lot of noise about this. They're wasting an awful lot of space and time and print by criticizing the speakers that they never heard, and they should be criticizing the city that contributed to this vast silence.
Harvey, you keep saying that the voices were not heard, and they were not that day. But we know what they say. We've heard them before. What's the line for you? What is hate speech?
First of all, there is no such thing as hate speech in the constitutional law. People have the same rights if they are going to speak love speak or if they're going to speak hate speech. And it is even more important that they hear the haters so that they know what they're going to say. You say that you know what they were going to say. But what about the other hundreds of thousands? I will give you odds if you did a survey. You would find 0.001% had previously heard or read anything by any of these speakers.
Harvey Silverglade, do you also worry that this is a slippery slope, that a progressive city like Boston might silence the voices that officials have said they don't like? A conservative city might silence or at least not provide amplification through the press for voices they don't like.
The thing about censorship is the worm turns. The people who are in a position of control today, 10 years from now, could very easily find themselves at the other end of the censorship spectrum. When we protect the right of others to speak, we are indirectly protecting our own right to speak so that when 10 or 20 years later the worm turns, we've established legal protections for everybody.
Harvey Silverglade, the civil rights attorney. Harvey, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we reached out to the Boston police. They didn't respond. But as to hate speech, you can't spit a racial or ethnic epithet at someone if it will cause that person to react violently. And Jay Robeson just tweeted me, there's no right to a megaphone either if you forgot to bring one. But Harvey's right. Under the First Amendment, you have a right to speech people disagree with, even if it's offensive and hateful. There's a call to amend that. Your thoughts, welcome at hereandnow.org.